Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your late cousin, SEC Mike, and everybody's favorite. I think he was probably 20 minutes early. Cousin Shane, how's it going, brother?
Oh, I see the comments, guys. I see them. It's like, I can't respond yet. I can't go live because Mike's not in here, you know?
Yeah, man.
How the hell are you, Mike?
Oh, good. Just went on Find Bob today. That's already on the YouTube channel, so don't exit this. But as soon as this is done, go check it out if you haven't seen it. I feel like college football's close when he has me on to stir it up. You know what?
Yeah, and I always feel like the ratings have hit rock bottom when I get the call, you know? Oh, man. And it is warming up, man. We're already talking about it. We got some coaches that are coming out saying some stuff. Like you said, we got Sankey down there in New Orleans making some waves. I'm excited. I'm even cranking up the old college football video game, brother, because I'm like, we got to get back in it. Got to get back on the horse. You know, we enjoyed our few weeks off. It's time to talk about the next season.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to share it, but I guess I'll just go ahead and do it. But it sounds like you're starting into the what's it called, the Twitch?
Yeah, getting the Twitch fired up. I'm going online, boys and girls. That's right. We're going to be playing some college football. Hopefully, we'll get to play with some of the cousins here, and looking forward to that. My PlayStation handle is pretty easy. It's Cousin Shane, and my Twitch is Big Cuz Does. So I haven't done anything yet. I probably shouldn't even have put that out there. I probably should have done a couple practice runs before we got it going. But I'm looking forward to it, man. Hanging out with a couple of cuz, drinking some cold beer and playing some college football. I don't think anything's wrong with that.
No, not at all, Shay. Not at all. So, hey, last episode, of course, we recapped the returning production on the offensive side of the football. Now we're flipping it, brother.
Special teams. Oh, no.
Now we got the defense. So that's why I was making the final graphic, putting the finishing touches on it. That's why I'm late, so apologies for that. But before we get to that, how about this, Shane? You've been just so locked in, brother. I was going to throw this up, this video, and while I was putting it together, Shane said, hey, will you grab this video and put it on the show today? So anybody that missed it, Texas not having a spring game. What the hell? They're joining the mighty powers, Nebraska and Southern Cal. No spring game for Texas. And, you know, when I heard Sark talk about it, not that I like this, but it does make some sense. So let's kick it over to Coach Sarkisian, who was on with Kay Adams with her show. Mm-hmm. And here's him breaking down why there will not be a Texas spring game.
Coach, last one for you. My birthday is in April. Should I be making plans to come back since I'm a fan now, to the spring game? Is that
a spring practice? You want to come to spring practice?
Are we
practice?
Not having a spring game?
No, we're not going to have a spring game.
Wow, breaking news. You're the best, Coach Sark. And we're just.
Well, I think a couple of reasons why. Over the last 2 years, we've played 30 games. And that's a lot for college football. 14 2 years ago, 16 this year. And I just mentioned we've had 25 guys get invited to the NFL Combine the last 2 years. So we've got a lot of young players on our roster. We have 21 mid-year high school kids that just showed up. And so the development that's needed for these guys to get ready for the fall is a little bit different than it used to be. And so our approach is going to be a little bit more NFL driven, kind of more of an OTA style early on. And as we grow into more of the scrimmage formats in the second half of spring ball, that I just don't know rolling the ball out, playing the game when we only get 15 practices is the best for us to maximize the opportunities that we get. So it's going to be a little bit of a different approach, but I think college football is changing right now. Yeah. And we need to do a great job as coaches of adapting to college football. And that's what we're trying to do. And I think it's going to be good for our team.
I think fans.
Adapting to college football by taking us away. College football. By, I see his point of view, but not a fan of this. How about you?
No, I've been telling you the entire time. This is the coward's way out. You know, you found your little exit. You don't have to do it. We see this everywhere, man. We see this in all walks of life. When somebody takes the easy road and they get away with it, they want the easy road. And I feel like that's what this is. You know, I even asked Manziel the other day, Rusty, if this is something. And this is what he kind of mimicked was the OTAs and stuff like that. So I see why it's going there. But again, for me, Mike, it's fandom, man. It's some of the greatest times of my life. We're at an orange and white football game, watching my kids play and getting optimistic throughout the summer about what I saw. So, yeah, you got to have something. If you're going to get away from the games, there better be something out here. But it's like the first couple dominoes have failed, and that's what's going to happen moving forward.
Yeah, interesting comment here from Rostaman. Sorry, that's not the right one. He was earlier here. Cousin Mark. It's pro football, pro college football. I'm not surprised. Yeah, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's not what we want, right? This ain't that NFL podcast. You know what I mean? So I agree. Real quick, Shane. As always, JR wouldn't get away the spring game. You know what? He'd be there, and he's donating another membership this time, Shane, to Billionaire or Billy Billionaire. Welcome to the family. Oh, Billy. What a name. Billy Billionaire.
Yeah.
Thanks to cousin JR. But
I would think he would be the gifting one, you know? That's this is the first billionaire we've had on this show. Oh, brother, I don't know. I mean, I try not to get too upset about it because it is just spring. It's just practice, as Iverson would say. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's something that's going to be took away from some people that may not, like you said in other shows, get to go to football games. This was their opportunity to come out here to the stadium. So I really hope that if that doesn't happen, that there is still some sort of fandom interaction, maybe even more extreme by the university, so that you may have the opportunity to go down here and at least see your coach, see your players, you know, be a part of that, because it is a big deal and it is something to get excited about.
Yeah, it just seems like every year they're trying to chip away at what makes college unique.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, there's no NFL.
That's the next move, man. Game,
you know,
it's like they're opting out of the SEC championship because the playoffs mean so much, and then all of a sudden, it's a domino effect. And I don't want one to lead to another. It's like you want to just sever the wound, you know. But right. I feel like you can't, not with coward Nebraska in the fold, you know. I blame them. Matt Rule's never allowed in the SEC moving forward.
You got to remember, Shane, I think it was, it must have been the last spring game, right? Where Arch Manning looked like Cam Newton. You know what I mean? Like, that's when kind of, you know, there was already hype with Arch, but that's when it really went supernova. And everybody was saying, man, did you see Arch? Yeah. What did he throw, like 5 touchdowns in a spring game? I don't know. That's valuable.
Tennessee, when we were in like our dark days, we recruited a running back called Jalen Hurd, and you may have heard of him. And I will say, maybe things didn't work out like we would want them to, or way he would want them to. But he was one of the main reasons I was at that spring game, because I wanted to see what our future looks like. And I came away excited about Tennessee football. That was just, again, it sold tickets. It put people in seats the following season, and I think it helped Tennessee get wins because you had a little bit of buzz coming into that following season. That's what spring games create, is buzz and excitement. And if you're Texas may not need it, but Mississippi State needs it. Auburn needs it. You know, Florida needs it. There's a lot of teams out here that need that buzz and that momentum coming into 2025.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, F him. You know, if he don't want to have a spring, doesn't mean the other teams can't have the spring, you know?
Yeah, but it's just, you know, once coach does it, the next is going to do it. You know, Mike Elko's going to say, well, hell, I don't want my game filmed. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
On and on and on it'll go. So I think this is sadly, I think this is the just kind of like who was it? I think it was Christian McCaffrey was the first bowl opt out, and everybody was like, "God, what a disgrace!" They won't even draft him in the NFL now. Now everybody does it, you know?
Hell yeah, I know. It's just momentum. It changes. It ebbs and flows. And like SARS, we got to adapt. Well, we're adapting because of what you did.
Right. Yeah. It is what it is. Right? Yeah. We're sounding like two old boomers over here.
We are. They don't make them like they used to, Mike. You know, when I was a kid, we had two-a-days. You remember that? You had to practice twice in one day. That was crazy.
Yep, it sure was, buddy.
They would weigh us before practice, mm-hmm. and after practice, just to see how much water we lost during that. So they knew, like, okay, you need to drink 3.8 gallons of water tonight, Shane. You know, I know it's this is why I'm fat, Mike, because I would go all summer long just eating whatever, doing whatever, because I knew in August I was going to lose it all. And unfortunately, the 2 days went away and I didn't have anything to kind of counteract my off-season eating habits.
Yeah, I could tell that.
Oh, Mike tries so nice to be nice, you know? I like it.
Well, all right, buddy. So, again, we talked about the returning offensive. Let's recap that real quick.
Hey, before you do that, did you see what happened down there in Miami?
Oh, buddy. Oh, man. I feel like I got to throw up throw up the graphic for that, right?
I think so. This one was one of my favorite moments. I shouldn't say favorite moments. Obviously, it wasn't me that did it because I couldn't fit in the damn thing. But, poor old Carson. He got a car stolen from him, Mike. And I think the ultimate comment was made on Message Board Genius. You're not doing that one?
Well, oh. I wanted to show, yeah, I don't know about you, but there's a reason I think this is getting so much attention. But shout out to Carson Beck, no longer SEC, so
we can make fun of him.
Yeah. Right. And his girlfriend, Hannah Cavender,
mm-hmm.
who Shane and I, we didn't get to meet him, but...
Yeah, here's the thing. They were at an On3 event, and we didn't go out of our way to make sure that we got airtime. But there were a lot of camps there that went out of their way to make sure these two got on. Anyway,
they had three vehicles stolen overnight.
Yeah.
Mercedes, Lamborghini, and an SUV. And apparently the SUV has been found, but the Lamborghini remains missing. Shane... He found this little message board genius clip. Man, the dogs are not friends of Carson anymore, right? Even his damn cars get picked off. Shout out to this guy at UGA Sports. You know what?
We can laugh because he's not here. But, yeah. I mean, it's bad if you got three cars stolen. But is that like all his cars? I don't know. He may have like a Vespa or something laying around that he had to use for practice. But, you know, it's like, if I had one car, I don't even have three cars get stolen. I mean, so it's tough for me to feel bad for Carson Beck. You know what I'm saying? Like they came out and they said like his only vehicle, his 1998 Honda Accord got stolen. I would feel bad for this kid, this college kid. But right. No, when you tell me Lamborghinis and Porsches and all this stuff, that's like, you know, it's an inside job.
When I think of something like that, of something that really bad happened, I still don't know the whole story, but a couple of years ago, you may remember Brandon Allen at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really underrated. There was a game, I think they lost. I think it may have been the Toledo game, and someone set his truck on fire.
Oh.
And it wasn't a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? It was, I can't remember what it was. And again, I don't know the whole story there, but I believe... His truck got set. It burned to the ground. So that's what I think of when I think of an athlete's car. That's always the story that sticks in my mind. Burned
to
the ground.
I don't remember that one. What was what happened to – there was something to a car, Auburn kid, right before Tennessee played basketball just not too long ago here. Wasn't there somebody vandalized his car or rode on it or something like that?
Oh, yeah, that was Broome. They just put – they put power tees on it is what they did. you know,
they didn't actually damage it.
No, 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 no. And he was banged up, and they didn't know if he was going to play. And he said, when he saw those power tees, he said, "My God, I knew I was going to play that game." You
know what? Oh man, what about them games last night? Did you watch any of them?
Oh yeah, I watched Missouri whoop Alabama's ass. I don't know how you score 99 points at a college basketball game and still lose decidedly, but shout out Missouri.
Yeah.
I was trying to find that the final score because I tweeted about it. But, man, Missouri, they may be the second best team in the damn SEC now. It was 110-98.
Jeez.
Missouri was on fire from outside last night. And I saw another stat. I may get this wrong, Shane, but I believe Nate Oates was 28. His teams were 28-0 when they hit 10 or more three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
They're 28-1 now, brother, because Missouri could not be stopped last night. Also, another people are gonna think I hate Nate Oates. They never or they trailed the entire game against Auburn.
Yeah,
that was the first time I believe that had happened under Nate Oates in a home game. So some streaks being broke here, but Alabama's still what hell of a team.
Oh, they're fine. Yeah, I just think it was funny that a lot of them were upset that this wasn't a prime time matchup, and Disney knew exactly what's up.
But between Missouri, Florida, Alabama, and maybe you could throw Tennessee into that conversation. I mean, I think all of them have a case to be made for the second best team in the SEC, and maybe even throw A&M in there. Man, this is a damn loaded conference. And even last night, too, heartbreaker, Shane.
Yeah.
Arkansas-Auburn.
Yes.
Wasn't a heartbreaker for Auburn. But it was a heartbreaker for Arkansas because they're record-wise, they're one of the lower teams in the league. But they pushed Auburn to the brink, and Auburn pulled through, of course. But, man, I feel bad for Big Z. I think he took 11 threes for Arkansas, missed every damn one.
Yeah.
I think after eight misses, I think I would have stopped shooting.
Yeah, I think you would have probably pulled me off the court, you know. Said no more beef hooks from this guy, you know. But hey, the tournament is right around the corner. We're going to be in Nashville before. I mean, now's the time to be making those plans. You're thinking about getting down there for the tournament. I'm telling you what, there's nothing like it. Downtown Nashville, they got all this fanfare. Me and Cuz Mike, we're going to be down there doing something, drinking, eating hot fried chicken or whatever. But I look forward to seeing you. But that now's the time to get planning because them hotels are booking up pretty damn quick. This may be the most electrifying tournament ever that SEC's put together. It is, without a doubt.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think that's questionable anymore, Shane.
They may not even let us in. They're like, we can't afford the extra space. Your fat ass is sitting outside this time, Shane.
And, of course, the first one with Oklahoma and Texas. So,
I
know basketball's not their primary sports, but it's worth traveling to. But I would imagine we won't see many Oklahoma. We'll probably see some Texas. But once they have better teams, I think they'll travel more. But point being, there's going to be a lot of great fans out there.
Yes.
We're planning on doing some Big Cuz Does content. So maybe a cousin could get in it if they see us film it out there in Nashville. You know what?
Yeah, I can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great games. And it's like Spurrier said, sometimes it's harder to win the SEC than it is the big tournament in March. I think that's what he said.
Yeah. And I did you see what John Calipari said last night?
Mm-mm.
Well, he snapped one of his damn clipboards because he was so frustrated. But he said, there was years I was at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I said, we deserve 6-7 teams in the tournament.
He said,
I was lying. He's like, but this year, I've never seen anything like this. And of course, he's coached in the Southeastern Conference now for well over a decade. You know what?
Yeah. I love it, man. That man's seen a lot, too. You know?
Because dunks. How about that, Shane? Can you dunk?
Dunk donuts. If they ever have them, you know. No,
he's talking
about
a basketball.
No. I've always wanted. You know, when I was younger, I always wanted to do one of those like trampoline deals.
Yeah,
and I've seen some places that have had it, but I don't know, man. Not now. I think I've seen. Problem is, I think the algorithm on my TikToks and everything, it's got me figured out. So I see a lot of these old people failing, these old fat people failing on these trampolines, and it's just like, there's just no way. My dunking days are never happening. Now, we've lowered the rim, you know, very low, to so that we could do it when we are younger. But my vertical, I think peak vertical for me was probably 6 inches. You know, that's when the running starts. So never. I remember we were doing this these box drills where you had to jump on these boxes and stuff back when I was in high school. Yeah. And I couldn't even get in on the box, man. They're like 12 inches high. I was like, vertical was never my thing, brother.
All right, buddy. So, hey, let's get into it.
Yes.
I don't have full graphics like I did last time. But all right. I have the key one. I have the main one at the end. So what I did for this one, Shay, I've even added to it since last year. So I'm adding defensive line snaps and defensive back snaps. And why specifically those two positions? Because I think you could be a competent player on the defensive line. I think you could be a competent player at defensive back, and you may not have outrageous stats. Does that make sense? Like, if you're on the field all the damn time, you're a defensive back, you know, you got to be doing something right. Same thing with defensive line. So sometimes your job is just to gobble up that block so that the guys behind you can make the play. So I think defensive line snaps, defensive back snaps, I think that's critical. Mm-hmm. Tackles for loss, interceptions, and passes defended. So I take all that criteria. And again, this is not transfers, not freshmen. This is just returning players. Boom. Here we go. I forgot to take it out to where it says offense at the top. But I swear this is defense. So here we are. This is total defense returning. I'll fix it, I swear, on the next one. But Vanderbilt, how about that, buddy? Vanderbilt not only leads in offensive returning production, defensive with 75% of their defensive production returning. Mizzou skyrockets up this side. They were low on the offense. They're very high on defense, 71%. That's second best in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Alabama's number three at 69%. Hey, there you go, buddy. Your Vols, number four at 67.
Yes.
Texas A&M is at five. They're also 67. There's a decibel difference between Texas A&M and Tennessee. That's why Tennessee is in front. Mississippi State, 65%. They're next. Florida, also 65%. Again, a little decibel difference there. Auburn, 53%. Texas, 53%. Oklahoma, 52%. And there's you. Every team that I just said are the teams that have 50% or more of their defensive production returning, with Kentucky, 47%. South Carolina, 45, Georgia, 44, LSU, 44, Arkansas, 32, and I told you, buddy, Ole Miss, 22%, dead last. So Ole Miss is dead last at offensive production and defensive production returning. Anything stand out to you about this?
Well, I'm glad it wasn't just an Excel program, because I was like, damn, it's going to be a really long show if I don't have some colors to look at. So now that I got to see these cool logos, Mike, I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is that top row of teams that were close, but no cigar. You know what I'm saying? We had Vanderbilt had an amazing year, top 25, Mizzou, you know, a couple wins away from going undefeated. Alabama, just fringe college football playoffs. Tennessee, you know, one and out in the playoffs, didn't quite. A&M with that hot start. I get Mississippi State out of here. But that's the thing that surprises me the most, is just when you think about having a monumental run the following season, like, which one would you rather have, your offense back or defense back? And I don't know, this day and age with the portal and everything, I'd kind of like to have my defense back. I would like to know that maybe if we get some improvement, even a step forward with the progress we had in 24, I'm feeling pretty good about our chances in 25. So, oh, man, I'm trying not to get sucked into returning production, but that's where I'm at right now, Mike.
Yeah. Any concern about old Ole Miss, though, again, dead last in two key statistics here. And again, I realize there, I just looked it up on three, and I'm going to be doing my own portal rankings, but on three's got Ole Miss as the number two portal class. And I did, I don't know if I said this off, Stephen and I were talking, I can't remember if it was on air or off air. And what he made a very important point to me is that Ole Miss, yeah, you naturally think, okay, they'll dominate in portal and all this.
Mm-hmm.
He says they didn't add, they probably had five bigger impact transfers in the last class, so the guys that just played, than anybody they just signed. So there's just not those Walter Nolan types. Princely was a huge one from Florida. Trey Amos from Alabama, who's probably going to be a high-end draft pick in the NFL. Those guys are not in this portal class. There are no saviors, I don't think, in this. And that's not to say that, you know, they got some really good guys. They got a trio guy from Arkansas.
Yeah.
They got Princely's brother. They got Lacey from Missouri. I mean, they got talented guys, no doubt. But there's no All-Americans in this class. I don't even know there's all SEC players in the class they just signed. So, again, this is just one metric, but I am really starting to be a little concerned. I think I've taken Ole Miss out of playoff consideration. I really, as of right now.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get it, Mike. But you pair it with the Ole Miss football schedule that they have coming up, it's,
yeah,
you know, shit, maybe the defense doesn't get it, but as long as we can outscore, maybe it's an exciting Ole Miss brand again. So I don't know. I'm not panicking on that, because when I think of Ole Miss football, I don't think of defense, even though they were phenomenal last season.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like Lane Kiffin gets the best out of whatever he has. And if it's unfortunately not the defense, I expect him to lean more into that offense. So, but damn, look at that schedule. That replaces a couple of those five stars on the front. You know what I'm saying? You got to win 10 games, man. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. But now I'm seeing LSU, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. They couldn't beat Florida last year. Well, I think Florida's going to be better.
But again, these are LSU, Georgia. They're on that bottom row with them in returning production on defense as well. So,
right.
I think the LSU is kind of a surprise. I thought, for some reason in my mind, they brought back more, you know, again, not that it was a phenomenal defense by no means, but they were very aggressive in the portal. And I thought paired with the returning production, they'd be in better shape, but I don't know. Maybe I thought LSU was bringing back a little bit more. That's, I guess that was my biggest surprise on this list, them in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, yeah, I kind of expected some of this because we've already talked about it, you know?
How about this one, though? This little nugget. So I do have a little nuggets here with, like, this spreadsheet. I won't spend a ton of time because there's so much data here, and I'll make graphics for all of these. But how about Georgia, Shane, with their defensive line snaps returning? It's only 24%, which is 15th in the SEC. So 24% of their defensive line snaps from last year returning. And remember, why Georgia's been dominant, why they won back-to-back national championships, we're seeing it all over the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They had all these dynamic defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And they're all gone, basically. Not all of them. 24% are back. But again, that's 15th in the SEC. It's still Georgia. They're still going to be favorites in probably every game they play. But does it concern you at all that they are 15th in the SEC in returning production just on the defensive line?
Not really. It's funny that teams like Georgia and Bama feels like it always get a pass because of the NFL draft and, you know, the next guy up. I mean, you look at that roster and they'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? When the new college football game comes out, you better damn believe they're going to be an A-plus defense. So I'm not as worried as a team maybe that looked a little suspect at times. Like, I'm referencing LSU. I'm referencing who else on this list? Really, that's about it. I'm just talking about like getting the most out of them. And LSU is probably the one that stood out to me because there was moments that even the returning production that's coming back looked kind of bad.
Yeah, I hear you. But, and again, this is just one metric. And now that we have offense, now that we have defense, and again,
State's up there too, man. That's kind of surprising. Ooh. State's, that's two sides, man, offense and defense.
Yeah, here's where they were. So this is offense. I know they both say offense. I screwed that up, but mm-hmm. this is the real offense. And then again, here's the defense. So I don't know. If I'm a State fan, if I'm an A&M fan who's in the top five in both categories, I'm pretty excited. Obviously, Vanderbilt, reason for optimism. I think this is there's something to this. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, teams like State and who else on here? Vanderbilt and Florida and Auburn, and you know, these are the teams that are going to be doing it a little bit different. And returning production, I think, is very, very pivotal for those programs. So sitting up here in the high 50s, I think even 60s, I think you're in good shape, and maybe a surprise. Not so much that I'm thinking they're going to win a playoff or anything like that, but you know, State was a guaranteed win last year, you know, and at times Florida felt like it too. So when you can erase that from Auburn and Florida, it's like you thought last year was competitive. You thought this, like this basketball, every game that we go into, you just don't know who's going to win. I feel like that's what we're running into this league, is just a little bit more parity. And I absolutely love it.
Right. And, you know, great point here. Shout out Green Wave. So you say,
I had to move up all these numbers. I had to get my calculator out.
Let's remember that if you were bad, you want to return less. Returning a high percentage is only good if you were good there. You could make that argument, Shane, but I tend to disagree with that, because it's different now because of the portal, and you can supplement there. But you know, this has always been a game about progression,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to progress when either you're lacking experience and you're just coming into a new year with complete unknowns. You know, yeah. like Tennessee last year was essentially devastated in the defensive backfield. They basically turned over the entire room. I would say for the vast majority, you know, take out the Ohio State game, of course, they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
They really came up well, and they're going to have to do the same thing with the receiving core. But there's many a teams that blow up a position and then it's even worse.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Mississippi State right now, who, you know, that they were all aboard until mm-hmm. they weren't. You know what I mean? And there's many, many, many examples like that all across college football. But
well, just keeping with Tennessee, Lance Hurd, we thought, hey, bringing this kid in, he's going to be an immediate impact. Like, there was no question in my mind that he was going to be an All-American. And at times he was, you know, he was a hazard out there. Now, right. What does he look like next year? I feel like that's, again, another situation, another year in the system. I think Lance Hurd has the attributes to be a fantastic athlete for Tennessee. He didn't hit on all cylinders last year, but now he knows what's expected of him and what does that look like in 2025. So, yeah, I get that whole production thing, but I miss fifth-year seniors. You know, I miss an offensive guard, you know, that's just stuck in there and he's played 6 years for your university and he comes in and he, you know, we don't have that anymore. And I like seeing this returning production.
I think it's a lot more valuable than returning starters,
mm-hmm.
because just because you start a game doesn't mean you played the most. Doesn't mean, you know, there's many factors there, but it is funny because Steven's a big returning starters guy. And he told me Ole Miss only got four returning starters, which again, I'm not trying to pile on them, but it gives you an indication of, you know, how much they lost. And I think once the NFL draft comes around, people are going to be saying, wow, Ole Miss had a hell of a lot of talent last year.
Yeah. Yeah. When is the draft? What day is that?
April. I don't know. It's in April, but I don't know the full date.
Yeah. I'd like to.
it feels like it's right around the corner too. You know, you always, I like the draft, you know, just see where your boys go, but it does suck. Like if you had a bad year and, you know, eight of your guys got drafted, you're like, wait a minute, why do we have eight in the NFL, but we got a 7-win season, you know?
Right, right. Well, hey man, I didn't mean to cut this one so short, but that's pretty much all I got. I wonder if we got any questions from the cousins or anything like that, or maybe if you got any questions for me.
Well, the second half's karaoke, so I'm glad you guys stuck around. You may want to grab another beer. I've been working on this one all night.
How about Cousin Betty says Ole Miss in 2025 will be Oklahoma in 2024. Ooh. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but how about thoughts on that, Shane?
Ole Miss will be the 2025 version of OU. Damn.
So he's saying about a 6-6 type team.
But here's the thing. Oklahoma came in with low expectations.
Right.
At least from this show. So now we're still talking Ole Miss as a fringe college football playoff team.
You know. I've kind of backed off it.
That I would say more of an LSU type deal. You know what I'm saying? LSU was a sexy pick, an outsider pick last year. And then of course they fell off with four losses there. So I think now that's possible. I could see an 8-4 Ole Miss if things don't hit with the portal kids, if you know the quarterback production isn't as plug and play as we thought. The good news, man, they're still soft up front. That Arkansas game is going to be tricky. Tulane, you know, I think you can't watch the bowl game with Florida and say that's the Tulane we're going to get. You got to remember, Summerall had that team rolling and
that's one I haven't even thought about.
Yeah.
John Summerall, a huge if, because they'll probably be like a 20-point underdog.
Mm-hmm.
If Tulane beats Ole Miss, he's got whatever SEC job opens next. He's got to be your first offer, I would think.
Mike, here's the thing, because I see Kentucky on here too. If Kentucky somehow screws this up, playing this game, you know, if Barnhart and them, if they just, you know what I'm saying? Like they have an opportunity. I've never said it's. It's easy for us, I guess, to sit here on a talk show and say this is going to work, but I have never been more confident that a coach would work at a university than I am Summerall in Kentucky. And I just feel like some reason, I don't know what it is, I just feel some reason Kentucky's going to end up screwing this up, keeping Stoops for another two more years or something dumb like that, and missing out on arguably one of the best coaches that is up and coming here. Somebody will scoop him up. Somebody will scoop him up at the end of next season.
Oh, yeah. They're saying, Shane, if one that was interested, if they had to make a move, Auburn. I think with the talent assembled there.
Buddy.
I think he'd kill it down there.
Honestly, Kentucky may have already been too late. Because I get Summerall would love the opportunity to coach there in Kentucky, but if Auburn's also coming after you with an extra $1 million a year and maybe more for your assistants, I mean, shit. Sorry, Lexton. You missed the boat. They may have already missed it. It drives me nuts. They're always doing that. They did it with the alcohol in the stadiums. It's like they're always a day late and a dollar short. And then they're like, I don't know why we suck. Well, you keep shooting yourself in the foot. So,
hey, how about this one though, real quick from, where did I just see it? Yeah, here we go. Shout out to Ghetto Steam Labs. I want to see Mississippi State go to a bowl game next year. Do it for the Pirate. How do we get State to 6?
Well, you got to win the first four. And I think Arizona State, that was a special season they had last year. You're not going to see, you know, old Scataboo. He's going to be a one hit wonder in the NFL. Just know it's going to happen. But
let's say Arizona State, let's just assume that they'll be the favorites over Mississippi State.
Yeah.
All the motivation in the world with the Bulldogs to prove last year was a fluke. Mm-hmm. We're bringing back all this production. Our quarterback's healthy this year. He got banged up last year. You know, I think there's real motivation for Mississippi State to go in there and pull off what would be considered an upset. But hell, it sure as hell wasn't last year. I mean, I believe Mississippi State was favored in that football game. So,
yeah,
you know, that storyline I could certainly see coming to fruition there.
Yeah, absolutely. I can too. And I for me personally, Mississippi State, to make this thing work, you got to go 4-0, and you're going to either have to catch some of these teams late. I feel like maybe a kind of a trap game scenario, but yeah. You're looking at Florida on October 18th. You know, it's, of course, State doesn't have an easy run either. Look here, Tennessee, A&M, Texas. Forget those three teams for a second and focus on the Florida Gators on October 18th. You got Florida schedule. They Buddy, just came Scotland. Off LSU, Miami, Texas, A&M. I mean, they haven't had a bye week since September. And I think that's a perfect opportunity. They're looking at a bye going into the Georgia game. So that may be your one. You know, it helps Florida Gators that it's at home. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I think it's going to be those top scenarios for Mississippi State to kind of have that opportunity. And we saw moments of this. We saw them give Texas a fit. We saw them give Georgia a fit. You know, Mississippi State played some good games. Arkansas, that's another one that may be a win right there. So right. I feel like you got to catch some of these scenarios and pray to God that Mizzou or Ole Miss sucks at the end.
You know? Hey, how about Cousin Tony says, sorry, they're fucked. How about this one, Shane, from ETOKC 420. What's up with Cousin Shane? Hating Oklahoma. Come on, Shane.
I don't hate Oklahoma. In fact, I was listening to Toby Keith before you got on here. That's my karaoke go-to. So I don't hate Oklahoma. In fact, I've got me a nice little Big Cuz Does coming up next week with Oklahoma. Little teaser. But yeah, just mainly because you guys suck. That's the big one for me.
You got to call it like it is, you know?
Listen, we can't all win. And I'm not saying that's the, when I had the fear of the logo, you know, there was a moment when Oklahoma was a team absolutely nobody on this earth wanted to play. And that wasn't that long ago. It really wasn't, man. This wasn't a 20 year, 30 year ago. This was a football team just a few years back that was dominant and nobody wanted a piece of. And the beautiful thing about this era of college football is it can be brought back. So I may be shitting on Oklahoma right now, but as soon as Mateer comes out here and wins some games that he's not supposed to, I'm going to be right back on that wagon telling you I was here all along, you know, because Oklahoma and Florida are in the same boat for me. They're storied programs that deserve better. So the fans deserve better. They've not been getting it. It's time to pay up, pay the piper, if you will.
Cousin Logan says, Shane hates Oklahoma more than he hates walking.
Yes, damn. And I hate walking, man. I ain't walking. The older I get, the less I want to do it, you know. It's funny. I was doing good down in Florida. It was 85 degrees, though. And I come back, now it's snowing and ice, and I said, damn. My Apple Watch, I don't even have to charge it every 3 days now.
I'm thinking back, though, to what year was it, 2015. Remember, you were speaking of Oklahoma and you know, how the fear. They came into Neyland Stadium. That was one hell of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out was Baker Mayfield, I believe. That was when he kind of started his legend. But overtime win over Tennessee, that – you know, they'll play in Neyland Stadium next year, obviously, mm-hmm. but that's what we got to get back to. You know, that swagger, that confidence that Oklahoma took, even on the road. I believe they went up to Ohio State's ass and whooped them around that time, planted the damn flag.
Do you remember the year that Tennessee went to Oregon? Yeah, I think you went to that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was up there.
So we knew Oregon was better. We knew Oregon was faster. We knew they had just superb athletes, and we went up there praying to God that we pulled off a miracle, pulled off an upset. I've only felt that way one other time, and that's when Tennessee went to Oklahoma. You know, it wasn't that long ago when they were striping the field.
Yeah.
Or striping the stadium, and I was like, man, if we play the perfect game and they mess up, hopefully we can win by three. You know, that's just the kind of attitude I had coming into that game. And that wasn't that long ago. And in fact, it was almost – we talk about some of the greatest upsets in Neyland Stadium. Some people still mention the Oklahoma game even though they lost it because of how close it was for Tennessee pulling off the upset against Oklahoma. So that's why we were so worried about the game last year, because we still had that – fear the logo syndrome, if you will. Of course, we call it battered ball syndrome over here. But, you know, I think that Oklahoma catches somebody off guard, punches them in the mouth early, and then all of a sudden you start scratching your head saying, oh, shit, are they back? Because that's all we're waiting on. We're just waiting for this Frankenstein to wake up, if you will.
Yeah, and they were also in another classic SEC game not that long ago. Arguably the best college football playoff game that's ever been played against Georgia out there in the Rose Bowl. Remember that? Yeah. Went into overtime. That was the Sony Michel fumbled the ball and Oklahoma, I believe they scoop and scored it. And then he scored the winning touchdown in overtime. But
yeah,
man, what a damn game that was. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oklahoma could play with anybody.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Not maybe not right now,
but you got,
we have seen it.
You got to realize though, in this league, and there's the haves and the has not. And doesn't mean the has nots ain't going to be the haves sooner or later, you know. But while you're a haves not, we are going to make fun of you the entire time. We remember when we were the haves nots, you know. So that's just the nature of this league. And they got thick skin. They know what's up. And they know their time's coming.
Yeah. Anything else, Shane?
Let's see. I did want to ask you, we're talking about returning production. Mm-hmm. Is there a team maybe that you saw coming into form last year? I think Florida is one of those easy answers, but is there another one or two that kind of stood out? Like the youth of that squad is finally starting to stop, make mistakes. That's usually what it is. A lot of times it's these young kids, they just make bonehead mistakes, and you don't see it until you break down film study. But is there a couple of teams when you look at that returning production, you're like, you know what? They were really starting to come in form toward the tail end of the season.
Yeah, I've got one that kind of fits exactly what you're saying, but I got one that kind of doesn't. I was going to highlight South Carolina,
mm-hmm,
and how red hot they got, and we're all enamored because they're bringing back Sellers. We're enamored because they're bringing back Dylan Stewart. We did best players in the SEC. I got both those guys in my top four, but I'm a little worried, Shane. I mean, offense production pretty good, 54%. That's nothing. That's nothing to be ashamed about. But then 45% on defense. They're losing a lot on defense. So again, I'm not saying they're going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
But I'm a slightly concerned. I wish they were bringing back. They're losing a ton of leadership, particularly on that defensive side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so good last year. So I'm a little concerned about South Carolina after doing these numbers. But to answer your question, which one maybe was coming of age late in the season?
Yeah.
You're going to like this one, buddy. How about Auburn? Come on. You know, we've kind of figured it out against Kentucky. That was like a toss-up, believe it or not, toss-up type game. They just, I know it's only a two-score game, but they destroyed Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then they laid an egg like they do against Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. But the big one was beating A&M, jumped out to, I believe, a 21-0 lead. And the Iron Bowl was not a great performance. But to me, it was one team was significantly better than the other and just took care of business. But if there is a team that's youthful, that has maybe turned the corner, that is bringing back a ton of production, I think it may be Auburn.
I think you're right, man. Oh, I can't get off Brodo here, though. I got to mention this. So we started the show with everybody blaming Cousin Shane for being late. And I was just like, I'm used to it, you know, because if there is an elevator fart and I'm in the elevator, everybody, you know, I just know I'm getting the blame because I'm the fat guy. If my wife wakes up and there's cookies missing in the pantry, it probably was my kid. But who do you think she's going to blame? Two thumbs at this guy. It's just, I signed up for it, you know? Chair's broken. I did it. You know?
I think I have done that a time or two with you, too, is been somewhere with you, and I was like, if I could do this silently, I'm you're not going to get blamed, you know?
Yeah, if you're a skinny person, and you're like, I have got to rip one, but there's so many people, cozy up next to a fatty, and when you do that, you'll be safe. They'll get the blame. You can walk away unscathed. Mm. That's a good way to start and end a show, huh?
Yeah, I thought you were going to turn that into Auburn somehow, but
that was worth saying.
And the comments are basically like, yeah, he'll screw it up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Taking my seat. Oh, did you put that one on there? Oh, that was my favorite. Yeah, golly. Hey. Again, if you're just now catching up, don't forget spring basketball coming up. Set your rooms up because they book up fast.
Yeah.
We'll be down there.
We got to get you situated.
It won't be like a show or anything. We'll probably just at some point grab a beer somewhere and watch some of the games. I mean, I'm not going to be sitting in there watching all the tournament. I think it's going to be awesome. But there's some really cool spots out there. If you've never been to Nashville,
yeah,
dude, this is your time. This is your opportunity. So it's worth it. Just get out of town for a little bit. Come over here, have some cold beers with the cuz. And yeah, just be sure to look us up. You can't miss me. You can't miss me. I'll be down there on the strip somewhere eating chicken, I'm sure.
All right. Anything else before we hop off the line, buddy?
No. Good hanging out with everybody. We got some going to have some stuff hitting this weekend, so have your notifications on YouTube. Some really cool in-house interviews coming for you. And if you're sitting there and you're like, man, I'd like cuz to drink a cold beer and talk to this person, be sure to hit me up on the Twitters, DM or something like that, and say, hey, you need to get so-and-so. And please stop saying Tim Tebow and Nick Saban. Guess what? They're not taking my calls anymore. So, but somebody realistic, you know, let me know and I'll be sure to sit down and have a cold beer and talk a little college ball with them. So look forward to it. Got some cool stuff coming. Big Cuz does. Again, thank you for hanging out. I mean, shit, it's in February and you're right here. You are the true diehards of the SEC.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a perfect place to end this one, brother. I appreciate you. As always, we appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Be on time next time, Shane.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.